Blog Talk Radio.
Christian Unite Radio. Sharing truth. A unity of Christ's never-ending love. This is the Christian Unite Radio Show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Christians Unite Radio. I am Nate. Hope you are all doing well. If you haven't noticed, I'm on Wednesday night and not Monday night. That is because Monday night I had a personal issue, and then tonight, when I tried to do the show at my scheduled time 7, I had some technical issues, so I had to push it back for another hour. So here I am on the air at 8 o'clock instead of 7. But I do have some announcements. Next Monday I will be doing a show on the Word of God. It's actually going to be a sermon that I'm going to be reading. It's not my sermon. It's a sermon from a collection of books. But I'll explain more about that on Monday. Tomorrow, Sister Patricia is going to have another show about prayer. So please tune in and join us for that. It should be a good topic. And on March 16th, I will be doing an interview with David Nowitzki. He will be doing his second tour of duty, so to speak, on this show. Some of you may or may not remember him. He is a Christian rap artist, ghostwriter. So I will be having him on here on March 16th. So join us for that. And Sean is going to be beginning a Bible study on the book of Acts. So we're excited about that as well. All right, tonight's show is a Bible study on Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. This is Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. I'm going to read a little bit of the background on this letter, as well as define some terms for you, such as apostle and grace and peace and whatnot. So let's jump right into it. I will be reading from the New King James Version. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, and I will read the verse and then read and define the terms and then go into the study of it, so to speak. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1 reads, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Now, the word apostle literally means sent one, who is appointed and empowered for a specific mission. The term was used of many in the early church, designated to spread the gospel. You can find that references to that in Acts 14:14 and Romans 16:7. In a strict sense, it referred to the 12 whom Christ himself chose to bear witness to his teaching and resurrection. You can read about that in Mark chapter 3, 13 through 15. Ancient letters normally begin by identifying the sender and recipient. Paul varied his identification to suit the situation of the particular letter. So Paul was kind of accommodating the Galatians in his opening address here, and that's what we see. Some of the study that goes along with this is, actually this is some of the background on the book now. Paul's letter to the Galatians is probably his sternest defense against false teachings. He normally begins each letter with some expression of praise and thankfulness for the faith of his readers. To the Galatians, he gives not one word of commendation before he, before he plunges into his counterattacks against the inroads of the Judaizers. So you see, during the time of this, the time this epistle was written, Paul was dealing with some believers that thought it would be better to go back into the old ways of the law, and he wrote this letter as kind of a plea or a chastising of those believers not to fall back into bondage because Christ had fulfilled the law. I know there's a group of believers today that want to make us believe that we have to observe the Old Testament laws and that we have to do that as part of today's, that is part of our salvation. That is not true. And this is one of Paul's examples of that. So we continue. It is possible that Galatians is Paul's earliest epistle. To those who see it as addressed to southern Galatia, usually dated in the victory vicinity of Jerusalem Council of Acts 15, about AD 48. This meeting of church leaders dealt with the same issues the Galatians faced and involved the same people, if not the same event that the letter refers to. So there you go. There's some history and background of the book of Galatians. It is actually one of my favorite books in the Bible. Now I'm going to define the term grace and peace. Actually, that's in verse 3, so we'll get to that in a minute. Further on verse 1, reads, Paul explained his apostleship in these words, not to separate himself from the original 12, but to show that his apostleship rested on the same basis as theirs. If the believers in Galatia questioned Paul's apostleship, then they also should question the apostleship of Peter, John, James, and all the others. And such questioning would be absurd. It would be absurd because they were all called by Christ. Paul was not called until later. Paul used to be the Apostle Paul, but Paul, he used to be the Apostle, King Saul. But then Jesus changed his name to Paul when he appeared to him on the road to Damascus. Such questioning would be absurd. All the apostles were called by Jesus Christ and God the Father, and they answered to God as their final authority, as we all do. All of us answer to God as a final authority. It doesn't matter who we are. So these apostles were called by Christ, and Paul wanted to identify himself as such to the believers. So verse 2 reads, and all the brethren who are with me. Verse 2, in Paul's time, Galatia was the Roman province located in the center section of present-day Turkey. So that kind of gives you an idea of where Galatia was and where Paul was writing this letter to. Much of the region rests on a large and fertile plateau, and large numbers of people had moved to the region because of its favorable agriculture. One of Paul's goals during his missionary journeys was to visit regions with large population centers in order to reach as many people as possible. So Paul wanted to make sure that he spread the gospel and his message to as many people as he could. So he visited many, many populated areas so that that would happen. Verses 3 through 5 read, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from his present, from this present evil age, according to the will of God, the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Study on verse 3-5. God's plan all along was to save us by Jesus' death. We have been rescued from the power of this present evil world, a world ruled by Satan and full of cruelty, tragedy, temptation, and deception. Being rescued from this evil world doesn't mean that we are taken out of it, but that we are no longer enslaved to it. You were saved to live for God. Does your life reflect your gratitude for being saved? Have you transferred your loyalty from this world to Christ? So that's important. That important question that every believer should ask himself is my life pleasing to God? How can I make my life more pleasing to Christ? That's what we should be asking ourselves, because we don't live for the world anymore. If you're in Christ, and I used to live for the world, I had many problems, struggles with alcohol that I covered in my testimony that is available to listen on the archives on our channel. But I used to live for the world, and I made the conscious decision to follow Christ, and now all I want is for my life to please Him. And that is the question that this commentary is asking. Is does your life please Christ? Is it something that He would be happy with? And I'm not condemning anyone. I'm just saying that's what we should strive for our lives to be. All right, now I'm going to define the term grace and peace. A Greek letter normally followed the identification with a greeting. Paul devised a greeting and invited God's favor and blessing in the broadest terms. They summarized Paul's gospel of salvation. It's not Paul's gospel, it's Christ's gospel, but he's delivering the message. The nature of salvation is peace and reconciliation. Peace with God, peace with men, and peace within. The source of salvation is grace, God's free favor, and irrespective of any merit or works, His loving kindness to the undeserving. See, that's what grace is. The definition of grace is getting what we don't deserve. We don't deserve salvation. Even in our current state, the Bible says that our works are like filthy rags to the Lord. We don't deserve His salvation, but because of His will, because of His grace and mercy and His loving nature, we have that salvation because Christ died for us on the cross. Verse 4, who gave Himself for our sins. Verse 6, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So you see here now, we're getting into where Paul is mentioning that the Galatians are sort of falling away from the message that they had been told, which is of Christ. So Paul is noticing that they are turning back to the Mosaic law. Now we will see why that is not a good thing. Verse 6 from the study says, some were preaching, quote, a different way. They were teaching that to be saved, Gentile believers had to follow Jewish laws and customs, especially the rite of circumcision. Faith in Christ was not enough. That's what the they call them Judaizers. That's what the Judaizers believe, that faith was not enough to save the person. You had to still, even though Christ had already died on the cross, you still had to be circumcised, follow the feasts, follow the laws, and whatnot. And salvation comes through Jesus Christ, not the law. And we'll see that as we go through. The message undermined the truth that salvation is a gift, not a reward for certain deeds. Jesus Christ has made this gift available to all people, not just Jews. Beware of people who say that we need more than simple faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. When people set up additional requirements for salvation, they deny the power of Christ's death on the cross. That's what we see here, and that's what Paul is concerned about. He is trying to get the believers to A, not listen to their Judaizers, saying that you need to keep feasts, you need to get circumcised, and that sort of thing, so that if they were listening to them and doing those things, that they would turn back. Verse 7. Let's go down to verse 7. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Verse 7 talks about a twisting of the truth is more difficult to spot than an outright lie. The Judaizers were twisting the truth about Christ. They claimed to follow him, but they denied that Jesus' work on the cross was sufficient for salvation. There will always be people who twist the good news. Either they do not understand what the Bible teaches, or they are uncomfortable with the truth as it stands. How can we tell when people are twisting the truth? Before accepting the teaching of any group, find out what the group teaches about Jesus Christ. If their teaching does not match the truth in God's word, then it is not true. Even you get that today. We have a rash of people teaching that, you know, to be saved, you have to abstain from certain foods, otherwise you're not saved. And that, again, that comes back to Jewish law keepers. And don't get me wrong, I'm not anti-Semitic. There's nothing wrong with the Jews. The Jews are God's people. But we must be careful to be following the truth and following it according to the Bible and not man. And that holds true to other religions that teach contrary to Christ's gospel as well. All right, now we're going to take a look at verses 8 and 9. Verse 8 reads, "Even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed." So in those two verses, Paul uses the word accursed twice. So he was very concerned about this falling away. Now the study reads, "Paul strongly denounced the Judaizers twisting of the good news of Christ. He said that God's curse should fall on anyone, even an angel from heaven who came preaching a different kind of good news. If an angel came preaching another message, he would not be from heaven, no matter how he looked." In 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, Paul warned that Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Here he invoked a curse on any angel who spreads a false teaching, a fitting response to an emissary of hell. Paul extended that curse to include himself. If he should twist the good news, his message must never change, for the truth of the good news never changes. Paul used strong language because he was dealing with a life and death issue. And that's kind of why I feel led to kind of go after false doctrines and false teachings at times, because I see people's souls hanging in the balance And I don't have it all together. I don't have it all right. But I use the word and scriptural authority to point out these false doctrines and false teachings anywhere from the prosperity gospel to the New Age to the law keepers. There are people that will tell you that, you know, if you don't keep the Sabbath every week, then you're not saved unless you keep the Sabbath. That's denying the power of Christ's blood, saying that it was not enough on the cross to pay for your sins. And that's simply not true. Christ said, in fact, "It is finished." Those were his words. Those were one of his last words. When he looked up to heaven, he said, "It is finished," which means the old Mosaic law had been fulfilled, and the New Testament, the new covenant that he had set forth with his disciples was now in effect. So Christ's death is enough. His grace is sufficient. It's enough for salvation. So that's what we must stick to, and we must stick to scriptural authority when ever hearing any teaching. If any teaching doesn't match up with what's in the Bible, I strongly urge you to not pay attention to that teaching. And if I or any of my co-hosts teach anything different from the truth, please let us know. Please help us change. We want to know. I care and love people so much that I want them to hear the truth. And if I'm not getting it right, I would love to be told. Not in a mean way, but in a loving way, so that I may correct myself and that God may correct me and work with me the teaching that is not correct. So there you have it, the first 9 verses. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I stumbled over my words a bit, and I apologize for that. I'm going to pick up this Bible study again in the coming weeks to go through more of the book of Galatians, because it does get interesting. Paul goes into kind of what exactly they were doing. So tonight we gave you kind of a hint of what the church in Galatia was doing. But next time we'll get more into that. All right, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the show. And don't forget, tomorrow Sister Patricia will be on with another show on prayer. I forget the exact title, but that will be tomorrow. And on Monday, I'm going to be debuting again, actually not debuting, but playing for a second time, a trailer for a brother in Christ. He wrote an audio drama called Building a Kingdom, and I'm going to play the trailer for that. I'm actually trying to get permission from him to make an episode of the audio drama, but we'll see where it goes with that. But I will have the trailer played for you on Monday. It's a great audio drama. I've heard it. It's called Building a Kingdom. It debuts on March 17th. He is going to have it out. And I will give you, on Monday, I will give everybody the address that you can find the audio drama on. So I look forward to that as well. All right. I'm going to sign off for tonight. I hope you enjoyed the show. God bless. If you have any comments, please leave them on the page or get a hold of us on Christians Unite. That's facebook.com/COFBU, facebook.com/COFBU. Have a good night, you guys. God bless. Take care.